I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Get to our headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Volkswagen or DoralVolkswagen.com. Dolphins lose. Jim Harbaugh was peacocking yesterday. Guy was so happy with his giant quarterback. Giant, stupid quarterback with his inability to be brought down.
Don't rip him. You could have had him.
They could have had him. And then, you know, he was at Michigan, so it was a little bit of a weird conflict.
I'm talking about the big quarterback that you were talking about.
Oh, who's ripping him? I said he's because he's stupidly big and can't be brought down by anybody? How's that ripping him?
You call him stupid, but, yeah.
I mean, he doesn't look like the brightest bulb in the show. Neither does our quarterback, by the way. Guy sits here. He's like he thinks the podium's become his therapy couch.
You do have to admit that, Leroy. Tobin's right with that.
What?
Tobin said two things that one, the peacocking and the fat cat with some of these players, and second, he said it's been a strife in the relationship between Tua and Mike McDaniel from the beginning of the season.
I don't necessarily think that.
I think he's right.
I think that when you're losing, we read far too much into the comments. Now, I will say this. There's been a couple of things that if you can't clarify them, you just don't say.
Mm-hmm.
Like the meetings, everybody just assumed it was like a players only meeting or whatever. And those meetings happen all the time. And you don't talk about any of that stuff unless you're 1-5. And I would expect, here's what I would expect. I would expect the quarterback who is the leader of your team to not put anything out there that could be deemed the way it is because you're losing, right? And because guess what? If they're 5-1, the same things could be happening. We ain't talking about culture and
right.
stuff.
100%.
And that's the part that I'm discouraged about, because if there's anybody who should keep it moving and stay positive and keep working and toe the line or anything, it needs to be the quarterback, because that's who we're listening to the most. So if you're putting stuff out there that requires either one, an explanation, or two, is not very clear on what you're saying, right? So for example, as much as I know that, and I believe when Tua talks about leaders, he's talking about himself. Then he makes the other comment about the meetings. It gets confusing.
And that's the thing with him, and that's why I don't subscribe to, oh, you guys didn't hear earlier in the press conference when he took accountability. It's like, well, dude, I'm sorry, but people got their lives to live. Like, if you don't think that in the world we live in, where we're in a chopped up, clipped up, Instagrammed up society, if you're not aware that the shortest amount of words can carry the biggest amount of weight in this day and age, as an athlete in this generation, well, that's ignorant on you, because nobody talks more than you do. And this has been a thing that has happened all year long. There's been an extra thing. And you're just like, why did he have to bring that up? And I get it. Tua spent the entirety of his first two careers taking a lot of arrows, taking a lot of the hits, And I do think that there's a little bit of defiance that he's like, I'm not taking this anymore. That's fine. But there are also, you gotta have a better handle on, is this going to be a thing or is this not going to be a thing? And when we hear even from him where he goes, well, I don't really hear anything because I just go home. It's like, well, guess what, dude? Your teammates do. And the rest of the NFL universe does. You're getting ripped by Hall of Famers, all pros, analysts. It becomes a thing for your franchise here. And if you don't know that the gravity of your words are going to carry a little bit of extra weight because of who you are for the franchise, well, that's just pure ignorance. I don't know what to tell you. That's a dumb position to be in. So that's what I find bothersome. Forget about the fact that the Dolphins already seem to have just an unbelievably unprofessional organization as it is. Like, the fact that we're talking about this stuff last year was already a thing, and now we're still talking about it. You guys don't have the respect at 1-5. You guys don't have the respect among yourselves to put in that extra work. I mean, geez, Louise, that's just it's such a bad look to begin with.
Here's what I would say. Here's what I would say. That those comments are 1-5 comments, not 5-1 comments. And the reason why I say that is the same things could be going on, you know, like if you meet every Thursday at 5 o'clock after practice to go over some stuff and you're 5-1 and the same exact things are happening. It is not anything to do with culture. And that's the problem.
But can I give you an example? Can I give you an example on something? Bam Adebayo, okay? Bam Adebayo went to practice on Friday, flew across the country to go watch his lady win a championship. He's got enough cachet and status. He probably could have just said, I'll be back when I'm back. But guess whose ass was at practice the next morning and doing media? Bam. Because he's a professional. Like, that, it doesn't matter what – and by the way, his team's not good now. He's been that way when they were good. He's been that way when they're bad. That's just how he is. That's how he carries himself.
Basketball is a little bit different, but it also has to do with who Bam is. So let's – And the way,
but is he not the highest paid player on the team though, Leroy?
But it's different situations. Their careers have taken a different.
It's just professionalism though, Leroy. Oh, that's what it is.
Okay.
Like, what does that have to do with status or anything?
No, it doesn't. But different people who come through the system or whatever system they come through. In different situations, it almost seemed like the day that Bam got to Miami, he was groomed for this spot. We heard from Zoe, we heard from everybody in that organization that this was going to be his team and he was being groomed for it with the people around him. Okay, so he handles himself accordingly. That's not necessarily the case in football. I won't just say on this team. It's a little bit different. And so from that standpoint, he can do things differently. He can. But a lot of this stuff you're hearing from everybody, including us, including all the talking heads. Is 1-5. And that's how comments are around 1-5.
Yeah, but that's
you can say it's professionalism or not. It's 1-5.
I understand that, but that's the thing is like when you're 1-5, everybody else in the locker room knows we're good. Captain's got us. No comment. Quick on it. He wants to keep going. And whether that's and I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's just because, yes, we know Tua's very honest, but this didn't feel like honesty. This kind of felt like, let me also tell you what's going on here to kind of get the stink off of me, you know, turning the ball over left and right.
I mean, so here's the other thing we do. All right. We just look at the mistakes and not put them in the context. I don't
Leroy, has he had a good year? Has he had a good year? Has he had a good year?
Like, okay, but we're
I'm not talking. I know. Yes, two of the one interception didn't matter because at the end of the game, and the other one was in Waddle's hands. By the way, the other one was probably at the most critical point of the game, where he swung the momentum of the game to the Chargers. So
he nearly threw a pick three.
He almost got picked off again. Do we get to talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay. I know. But the pick that he had, very critical. So let's talk about meetings. What's up, Mo Skrilla?
Here we go again. Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good morning.
I've been a Dolphin fan for a long time. At the Orange Bowl, they put Joe Robbie in my city, Kansas City, and the Marlins and the Panthers came. Everybody that came behind the Dolphins and don't want a chip. You know, it started to get real frustrating, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to blame the players no more. I'm through with that, you know. Two of them got about 10 interceptions already, but I don't know. Leadership, the owner, you know, Stephen Ross, it just, you did good with everything around the stadium. Yes, we love everything around the stadium. But it's time for you to sell the Dolphins. Sell. Call the main man.
You want him to call the main man?
Anthony Caliendo?
Yeah, the main man.
To flip the business, or do you want the main man to buy the Dolphins?
I mean, he can flip the business.
Hey.
If
Stephen Ross wanted to sell the team, you ain't got to worry about getting help.
Yes. But I know one thing I don't want to say. I know Leo don't want to hear this, but it's time to tank for Mendoza. Get Tua out of there, and let's tank for Mendoza, man. Indiana quarterback. He's a hometown guy from Columbia High School, wherever he's from. But he's doing great. Let's just move on, man. Get everybody out of there and just move on, man. Let's just start all over and just break it on down and start all over, man. I'm through with it.
All right. See you, Mo Skrilla.
I would say.
It was a good job by Indiana this week, though, in the Kalel Ware Bowl.
Yes. I would say that changing ownership is not going to matter unless Stephen Ross comes out and says, as long as I'm the owner, Chris Greer is going to be here.
Oof.
See what I'm saying? Then you can have, but at some point, even an owner who has been an excellent businessman throughout his career, even he walks into a room and looks at what's going on and has to say, what the hell are we doing?
I definitely think that Stephen, right? I definitely think that last year, because he didn't open up the purse strings as much this year, like didn't restructure as many contracts, I definitely think that he put them in a, hey, I paid you guys already. Like, go figure it out this year. I think they're right. Even he had to come into this year with some level of frustration.
And if you think about that, it's getting to that point. Now, I would say this about Chris Greer. If he had just kept everybody he drafted, this team would be better.
He's always reacting, though. He doesn't have any foresight.
Right, but that's my point. That's my point, that he is the only GM in a long time that I have seen to actually draft decent players and then can't afford them. So when we go to your draft record and see who's on the team, nobody's on the damn team, right? You've given away so many first rounders for guys who are either not playing or not playing as well as the first round guy you could have drafted.
Right.
And here's the kicker. In all championship teams or contenders, you have probably four or five guys who are young that are playing for cheap. You can't afford to pay every single position. You got to be able to draft and have cheap labor. And the fact of the matter is, he tried to go out and buy all of the labor to the point where he couldn't afford his cheap labor. So it's been building. And I think that if Stephen Ross were to look back and see the path that they've taken, and now you're forced to play guys who may not be ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
That is a bad job. Oh, however you want to put it, it's a bad job because this could have been done 2 years ago.
That's a vibe.
When you say, no, we're going to build through the draft. No, we got to go a different route. But you waited until it was absolutely a dumpster fire to come to the conclusion we can't keep going and giving up draft picks for free agents. It's too late.
That Jonah's taking a beating.
Oh, dude, look, there is. You know what the worst feeling for a quarterback is? When you look left and see four eyes staring at you, the defender and the guy who's supposed to block him. Right? Like, there's an old crap moment right there. And I'm telling you that it is, I mean, to the point where we don't even talk about Patrick Paul.
Yeah.
Because it, holy smokes.
That sack was bad.
Yeah, it was.
It looked like they were maybe, was it a Simone greeting? And then he forgot that there was a snap. And then he was like, oh, because he got beat. Like, by the time he turned around, two was already on the ground.
Pretty wild, man. Let's go to Sean. Hello, Sean.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Hey, I'm going to say something real quick here. You know, Tua, not only can he not read coverages, he can't read a room, and he's a snitch. Okay? this reminds me of when Kobe Bryant outed Shaquille O'Neal. Maybe I should have just paid off the girls. But anyway, you know, did he think he's going to get any respect from any team or teammate that comes to join that team? I wouldn't want to play for him. Okay. I thought it was about McDaniel, but I'm beginning to see that I'm really thinking it's Tua. And we're handicapped by his ability.
All right, appreciate you, Sean. I think that reading the room would help. I did see some of that. Like, there's a lot of, like, Dez Bryant's come out, LeSean McCoy's come out and said they're not going to respect you for this. Kurt Warner was like, you're telling on yourself in this case. You should be, you know, no deflecting of blame. Yeah, he's not getting a lot of grace with these comments. Right. But look, I agree with you, Leroy. The loss and the losses piling up make this all worse. That's why you need him in that position to not give any other meat to the piranhas, you know, dude?
No, I
unless we're walking, of course, into a Las Vegas aquarium. Then I want the piranhas.
Here's what I would say. There is no excuse for some of the explanations and how he's gone about it, because the fact of the matter is 1-5 sucks. And you're tired of looking for answers when we already know what the damn answers are, right? There's nothing worse than being, you got to talk about other stuff because you don't want to put the real reasons out there that everybody is fully aware of and knows. And so you sometimes get yourself in a little trouble because you're trying to be so honest. All that being said, I would say the reason why they're 1-5 is not because of Tua. He plays his part, right? So I'm not excluding him from it. But there are so many other things going on, including having the single-handed worst defense I've seen in a number of years.
It's really bad.
And teams running for 200 against you every week. Now, if I just use those stats and put them on any other team, no other team's winning games.
Mm.
And so while we're sitting here commenting on what Tua said and he's not being professional and all that can be fine, that's not the reasons why they ain't winning on Sunday.
I mean, it's not, but it's also not like – That's why I say, like, it reflects on the whole team being bad. Like, I don't think this is a team that deserves a blame pie chart, because I think that there have been enough scenarios for all of them. Yes, I would say if you wanted to, give 75%, give 75 to the defense, whatever. But in the times that they have shown up, the offense hasn't either. In the times the special teams has had a good play, then the special teams botches something else. The coaching decisions have been bad. Like, everybody's – it's not – this isn't something where you could really go – except for Devon Achane. Devon Achane's the only guy I'm giving a pass to the rest of the year. Like, he's the only guy who I'm like, very rarely this guy is doing anything other than just carrying everybody's ass all over the place. But Waddle's had drops. That was a terrible job by Waddle to start the game. Right in your damn hands. You a wide receiver, one or what? Like, what's the deal, dude?
The problem is when you're a bad team, all of the mistakes always seem to be amplified.
Yeah.
From little to big to whatever. And that's also part of the problem, right? It's frustrating. It's frustrating to me to know that, like, if I get 10 other guys in that position that JP was in.
Oh, my God.
Seven of them make the sack? Because they go at it with a different physicality than he went at it. Like, he went in there trying to hook. Get him on the ground.
Seriously.
Dude. Worry about everything else. Right? The fact that he could have three or four grown-ass men hanging from him and still throw a ball away to stop the clock and throw it in the direction of, like, come on, man. Like, that, you want to talk about not professional? What y'all trying to do, lay him on the ground? Give him a pillow and a binky?
Trying to swaddle him?
Get his ass on the ground.
Take a break. Back after this.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Leroy, can you give us a weather update, please, over at the Windowplex? Brought to us by Chill Zone AC, featuring reliably rude AC systems. Make your AC great again. Visit chillzoneac.com.
It's getting about that time. About that time, dude. Where the weather was 70 Sunday morning. What a glorious day. Sunny, not too much humidity. Oh, it was glorious. And now, after another cool morning, and I see a little bitty cloud, essence of cloud. Winds are very light. I can't tell which way they're moving because nothing is, looks like it's coming out of the north, maybe northeast, hardly blowing. And I would say right now it's right just above 80 degrees. But looks like it's going to be a pretty lovely day. I'm not going to forecast any rain, only due to the fact that the humidity has been relatively low and the clouds probably won't build up as much as they have in the evening. Mm. Although it did rain last night.
It's good.
He is good.
81 degrees. Mm-hmm. The low will be 73. The humidity is at 73%.
Wow.
Yeah.
You watched that Jets game yesterday, Vlad?
You can tell.
Of course I had to watch that nastiness in the morning and then go to more nastiness. It wasn't a good morning yesterday. I'll tell you
not
that much.
Good. That's not good football.
Your stretch from about 9 in the morning.
To 4 p.m.?
Till about 4 p.m. was just, well, look, I had yesterday to throw in there too.
With the Browns. How'd Aaron Rodgers look?
Michigan.
Oh, man, you had a nasty 24 hours then.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because the Michigan.
My whole weekend.
Yeah.
Listen, this is what I did. So I got done golfing, And I knew it was going to be a bad day because normally I put my golf shoes on in my garage, right? Then take my slides and throw them in the back. Forgot to throw my slides in the back. So now I'm in socks. I go to Delaware Chicken, get me, you know, some thighs and some shrimp, you know, for the week. Then I say, you know what? You know what? I'm going to enjoy it today, right? I went to Miller's Ale House, got me some wings. Oh, it was beautiful. I was ready to go.
Glorious day.
Got my setup. Look, got my setup. Got everything going. Dolphins won the toss. They say, we want the damn ball, right? Soon as I did this. Are you bleeping kidding me?
When we said we wanted the ball, we meant we're going to just yak it up midfield so you guys can have it right there. No worries, guys.
My problem. And then the defense held them to three, which I was like, okay.
What happened all right. That third quarter, Leroy?
No, that's the,
you know, that's the number one. It's my problem with this team. Let me see my problem with this team. They go through ups and downs. Like, you go up 17-0. However you go up 17-0 against Carolina, you were up 17-0. Then they came back. Then on five possessions in a row, like in the second half, it was three and out. And I'm like, why in the second half? They don't. And this is the problem with the coach. He doesn't adjust. They make adjustments on them. He doesn't make adjustments. And then they got to go in the fourth quarter, make a great comeback. But it's still not going to be enough sometimes.
Here's what I would say about, and I've said this for a while. And Tobin can attest to this. You can't be a team that if they stop what you originally do, you're done. Right? And what happens is when I come out in the second half, you not only look at the things you didn't have success at, you look at the things that you took advantage of on defense and think, what are they possibly going to adjust to stop this? Because they're not going to just keep letting us do this. And all of your play designs have to have a complementary adjustment with it. So if you ran five slants and they're playing that cover two, and if you beat the corner inside, you got open season. Right? Because they're so deep. Then if they line up in cover two and then bolt to cover three and drop a linebacker out and tell the linebacker to get in the way of the, you got to have something off of that. You got to, okay, let's run a slant and go. Or let's take two steps in and go straight down the field. And we're going to go over the top. Right? You have to have some adjustment with the idea of, I know they're not going to let me do this all game.
Right. And it felt like he got
one aspect of football that you can do the same thing over and over again. And that's running the football. If you don't run for 200 yards against a team and you see another team run for 200 and you see what area of the field they running from 200, you're going to have guys running all over the place. But guess where the ball going to go? Right in that soft spot.
Physically, though, like the thing with the Dolphins is their running is almost Achan making magic of stuff. Like,
to be fair, they're trying to play to the strengths of Achan. And what I would say is this: for a small guy, he does run pretty physical inside. He just don't have nothing to pack with it, so it doesn't look like it.
He also doesn't have anybody clearing it out for him up in the middle either.
Well, you don't want that too. So let me ask you: yes, you don't want to keep running it outside, and you want to run some inside. Where you gonna run it?
Great question.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's that. You can't do something that you don't think your team can accomplish. But I'm just looking at from the passing aspect of it, from the running aspect of it. And I don't know this to be true, but I'm just saying, Vlad, when things go south in the third quarter, is because teams have come in, they've got a list of all that you've done that was successful,
and they defend that.
And
now a good offensive team will always stay one step ahead of that.
And he's not doing that this year. He hasn't been doing that the last two seasons.
It just took.
So by the time they make some adjustments, half of the quarter or a third of the quarter is gone.
Right.
Because you think that they just gonna, they pros too.
Well, they're
gonna let you keep doing the same thing. They just say, you know what? They go into halftime and say, you could beat us with anything else. You ain't gonna beat us with what you beat us with in the first half.
But that's what happened in the third quarter. Is like he went to the A-chan well so many times. He's having A-chan go out, run routes, A-chan on the sweep. And it's like A-chan, they figured it out.
It's the same thing that happened in Buffalo when they were throwing in the fourth quarter to Jalen Waddle. That's why the linebacker knew, oh, you're going to Waddle right here.
Right. And that's why the fourth quarter, like the go-ahead drive was a great drive. Like, you're mixing Julian Hill in there. You're throwing some different things, some different wrinkles. Right. It just took, like, how many punches in the face did it take you before you woke up?
Part of the reason is, and I hate to do this, but you almost tie your quarterback hands for whatever reason when you throw those little quick bubble screens, right? Because if you run three of those in a series and then it becomes third and eight, now you want him to play quarterback. Because those little bubble screens is not playing quarterback.
Mm.
Hell, I just saw Detroit Lions run a bubble screen and they switched the quarterback and the damn running back. Anybody could do it. So if you got to give your quarterback a chance. Now, some would say he's not talented enough to give that chance. But I would say to you that I've seen him make some throws and some decisions that are not just based on – that are based on reading a defense.
How scary.
But he doesn't do it consistently. If he throws 30 passes, it seems like 10 of those passes – or just the bubble screens or the quick flips or whatever. So now you're asking him to play quarterback for 20 plays.
Were you nervous?
And a lot of those times it's third and long.
Were you nervous on the Waddle toss across to Achan?
Yes.
I was like, oh, Jim!
Red full Romo.
So I get it. And sometimes when you watch them play offense, it just looks like structurally it looks so good, right? But then it's almost like, hey, let's run those same five plays again.
Hey, can I ask you a question? As a football player, is there anything more exhausting than Jalen Waddle reversing the entire field to lose to lose 4 yards? Because he was going to gain yards. And then he goes, watch this, and then nothing happened. He just ran all the way and no gain. Like, that has to be the most exhausting thing. It's like, I'm going to run all of here and nothing happened. There was no payoff.
When I see a player do that, you know what I start thinking? Thank God my route is over here. Because you ain't getting my big ass tied too. Like, you better score. I say, I'll take an angle and maybe pick somebody off at the end. But I ain't going to be your lead blocker on the other side of the field.
Waddle had himself a day. Dude, his day was a roller coaster.
Oh, no. Definite roller
coaster. It was crazy, dude.
And another overthrow. Two overthrows on to Waddle. And I'm like, really? Not even Khalil Ware would be able to get some of these throws, these passes.
Yeah, he a couple of his in routes, two was a little high, which is not like him. And it's just bad throws, right? But here's what happens, Vlad. I think if you look at his numbers, just, you know, just the numbers, what is it, 20?
You want his final numbers from yesterday?
Just the completions versus attempts.
Oh, he was yesterday 21 of 32.
21 of 32.
65%.
So like 60%.
Over 60?
Over 60.
Don't look at that interceptions column, though.
But what you have to do is,
I think it'd be 24
is that you kind of have to do this when you get those numbers from Tua. Look at the freebies, and then look at the passes that guy was open and you overthrew him.
Yeah.
Right? To give it his proper context.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, while everybody else just looks at the numbers, I know for a fact there were two square ends. He threw it over. And when you usually miss on that square end, that's a pick. I'm going to just tell you. When those balls went high, I'm like, oh, no.
Well, when they had Ingold out there.
Oh, the Derwin James?
Derwin James was this close to picking him off. I the first person I thought of was Leroy.
I thought about you first.
Oh, man.
You hate that play.
No. Well, not as much as Leroy.
But then I thought, I remember Leroy.
Leroy.
By the way,
hates
Leroy.
It's the Ingold plays.
Leroy. You my boy. You my guy. Anthony Weaver is so stressed, he's turning into you right now. His beard is as gray as I've ever seen. I'm like, yo, is that Leroy defensive coordinator right now? Or is that Anthony Weaver?
Listen, I'm going to tell you like this. Coaching on a losing team.
Stresses you out like
and,
no
and
other.
You coaching the side of the ball that's the worst in the league, right? It look like when you look at the picture, all the presidents have been president for like 3 months.
Weaver's actually like a president?
Yeah.
I tell you one thing.
Oh, because they've been up all night.
He was.
Yeah, man.
He definitely
I'm
got
telling, it. But here's the problem. And for all the things that I've said about Mike McDaniel, I still believe that. I still believe that an offensive guru needs to be one step ahead and not reacting. Right? I 100% believe that. That's what an offensive guru does. When you watch good offensive football, what is the first thing they say? Oh, they're always one step ahead of the defense. Like, when you defend something, we ain't doing that no more. Kind of like that, right? But and others on the other side of the ball, there ain't nobody you could put at coach. Nobody, right? I mean, Weaves is the guy that's getting some heat.
They threw 13 consecutive passes. When they could have ran the ball. That's how bad your defense is. They already knew your secondary was bad. So they're like, you know what? I'm going to throw 13 passes in a row.
I'm going to tell you something about that offense. A lot of it is run pass check. So they're just basically going on looks. It ended up being 13 passes in a row. But let's just say it wasn't probably designed that way. And keep in mind, here's why you have a game plan like that. You ready? You play a team that just gave up 200-plus yards rushing to one guy, the backup, right? What do you think their attitude going to be moving in the next week?
I wonder who the Browns' backup is.
Stop the run,
oh,
right?
They got a good running back.
Junkins.
Yeah.
Right, we got to take a break. Leroy has game balls and game bums.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Next. Bum, 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 bum.
This guy's a ball.
What do we got today, Leroy, for your game balls and game bums?
All right. So I'm going to give my game ball. This Indiana team. Holy smokes.
The Hoosiers.
The Hoosiers. The Hoosiers. Wow. I watched that game, and I'm going to be honest with you, and maybe it's from my own past situations with Indiana, because I've seen Indiana start off a season 6-0, 5-0, you know, and then they get into the Big Ten schedule and their final record is 7-5, you know, 8-4 or something like that. They're good. Like, they are good. So kudos to them. Besides the quarterback, like, it doesn't compute, right? We're so used to the powerhouses, the Michigans, the Penn States, you know, that.
By James Franklin.
Yeah.
Indiana being good doesn't compute.
Especially when you're calling for
a really good football team. My old note.
Nope.
I mean, my game bum.
Yep.
Bum.
I don't know who to give it to, so I'm going to give it to a situation.
Oh, come on. You've got many, 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 many.
Well, I'm going to tell you, when I explain, when I explain, you're going to understand why.
All right.
James Franklin got fired.
Yeah. Deservedly.
And it was it?
I don't know if you know my James Franklin take.
But I'm just saying, like, here, let me put it this way. What is required of a college football coach nowadays? I don't understand. He's having a bad year. They're having a bad year. It hurts more because they were ranked second.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, so the expectations of what they were supposed to be by being ranked second, it is also going to add to this. But, I mean, he's not, like, what, the last 4 years he's had 10-plus wins? He can't beat Ohio State? I mean,
and there's the answer.
But wait, Vlad, what part of that is coaching and what part of that is you're not good enough?
For 8 years, though?
You've got teams that won the national championship,
after
too.
After 8 years, if you keep on doing the same old, there might just be a new voice that just needs to be heard. Bro, that's it.
You think the team would be better?
Leroy, didn't they lose to a winless team?
They lost to UCLA and they lost to Northwestern.
This year was bad. I clarified right. that.
And
I
you're coming off. Here's the thing. You're coming off a successful season last year, where right. you actually, even though you lost, here's the thing. The college football playoff picture, guys, was going to be his safe haven. That's why I respect Penn State for doing what they're doing. Because he's automatically going to win 10 games with the talent that he gets. He just loses the big games against Michigan, Ohio State, or right now Oregon. So if you can't beat the big teams, and you're supposed to be a big name, and you can't beat the teams over and over and over and over, maybe it's time for you to go. And I'm not hurting for him. He got $49 million. I'm not hurting for him.
No, I'm not. I'm not talking about money here. I get it. He don't care, right? He's going to be fine. Mm. He's probably going to get another coaching job.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But what I'm saying is this. At what point do you have to look at your team and say, our team isn't as good as those teams?
Every year, though, then, Leroy? How many years am I going to look
okay,
at it?
Okay, but how many? There's only one team winning national championship. Should the other 135 be thinking the same thing?
Up until last year, you never got to the playoffs. And the reason why you got in the playoffs because they added more teams because they know they get more revenue. If this was still the old playoff ways of four teams, Penn State will never make it.
I would say, Leroy, if you're Penn State and you're watching Indiana wax a top five team, which you never do under your leadership, your leadership's going to get fed up at a certain.
Great
point.
I mean, are they putting out enough money?
Is who putting out enough money? Penn State?
Penn State.
Are you kidding me? They got crazy.
No. Vlad, I know they have a lot of money.
I don't know.
There's a lot of schools that have a lot of money.
Well, then
I saw some stuff over the weekend that like, you know, there was some stuff about them switching to Adidas that had a lot of people up in arms and things like that. So I don't know. I don't know what their money situation is, but
right. So I'm just listen.
You don't love a good college coach firing. I love college coach firings. You want to know why? Because they send so much money to make him go away.
Yeah, they're like, if you're willing to give up $50 million,
that's it.
To have a coach go away. Here's what I would say though.
Yep.
Your ass better be better next year.
Don't lose. You see who else got fired?
What I'm saying? Think about this, Vlad.
Okay. So
let's set this up right now.
Now hold on. Do I have now the new coach? Because remember, I'm not getting my players.
It doesn't matter who it is.
So then it doesn't matter what the players.
You already said that I'm going to pay $50 million to have you go away because I know I can get a better one.
Okay.
I hope
so that means in 2 or 3 years, you better be competing for a national championship. Would you agree?
I agree.
Okay. Because guess what? It never usually works that way. Right? That's the part that I'm giving a game bum for. You think you could just go and get somebody else and, it's going to be better. And how often is it better? How often have you seen, we fired our coach and brought a new guy in, and, he really got it crack-a-lacking?
Dade South says Manny Diaz is minus 150 to be next. Is that real, Dade South, or is that bit odds?
And wait, you get rid of Jerry Franklin, you go hire Manny Diaz?
Al Golden's going to get that job, dude. I'm telling you.
No way.
Okay, Vlad, then what are you going to say? They gave away $50 million to go get Al Golden or Manny Diaz.
This is all speculation. I don't know who they're going to get.
No.
You're saying Al Golden and Manny Diaz. Vlad. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Al Golden's had a resurgence.
I haven't heard any of this. Vlad. I haven't heard any of Al Golden. Manny Diaz is getting his ass kicked in Duke. So I don't think they're going to be going after Manny Diaz.
Vlad, I'm just saying.
But you're right. In 2 or 3 years, if you're going to make a move like that in 2 or 3 years, you should be back at the college football playoffs or have a significant win.
But even if you get to the college football playoffs, that's not good enough.
But Leroy, listen what Tobin said. Indiana went to Oregon and beat Oregon.
Yeah.
Penn State hasn't, in his 8 years or 12 years, I don't think he has a win like that in his 12 years.
You might be right. About
so if an upstart, I'm not going to say Indiana's an upstart, but an upstart program like Indiana they over the last 2 years,
they spend a lot of money.
But they've done it. They've won.
And the coach is really good.
And I've been giving you recruiting class after recruiting class. Top notch quarterbacks. And
you want to know? You know what Penn State people are going to say? Let's go get that Indiana coach.
Probably.
But guess what they failed to realize?
You ain't paying that money.
No, he making the same amount of money as James Franklin was making.
Telling you what.
See what I'm saying?
I'm just happy that.
Why would you leave? I'm not leaving for that.
Let's, they're cleaning house over there, but I want to tell you guys about some clean laundry, all right? Best dry cleaning in all South Florida. Use our friends over at A&T Dry Cleaners. It's Halloween time, friends, okay? You got yourself your fall event. You got no, homecoming. Homecoming, Leroy.
Homecoming.
Been a while. But you got those formals. You got those autumn weddings going on. Maybe you got one of them Halloween masquerades. I don't know. You need your clothes looking right. Family get-togethers. Use our friends over at A&T Dry Cleaners. You can call or text Ara anytime. 954-610-9383. That's 954-610-9383, Leroy.
Yep. They've been around for 40 years, and they can do same-day sewing. Please give Ara a call so he can let you know what needs to be done. Mama Ara is the seamstress, so you're going to go get that good family care with all your clothes. They service all of South Florida. They Broward and Southern Palm Beach County, and they can pick up and drop off your order. Ara's a fan of the show, and guess what? If you mention Tobin and Leroy, you get 25% off. 25% off your order, so you get good care, quick treatment. Give Ira a call, 954-610-9383. And once you use A&T Dry and Cleaners, you'll never launder your own clothes again.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.